Now, before Brother Donnie comes to preach this morning, if you have your Bible, just want to read a scripture or two in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Then reading at verse 26, read down to the end of the chapter. I just want to read this. Blessed truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. Paul says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise." God always outsmarts the smart Alex, doesn't he? "And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are." Why does God do this? Look in verse 29. "That no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him that is of God are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Let's pray. Our Father, as we come into your presence, Lord, we are so thankful for who you are. Lord, we're overwhelmed with who you are. Lord, we don't have the words, we don't have the understanding, we don't have the tongue to be able to declare from our heart what you mean to us. Lord, we ask you this morning that you bless our brother as he comes. Lord, just empower him, use him for your glory, that through his voice, your people would hear your voice. Oh, Lord, how we need you. How we need your presence. Lord, we pant for it. We desire it. We need it and can't live without it. Be pleased to meet with us today. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. Donnie, come on.
Luke 23, verse 39. It's so good to be here and see everyone. It's I pray the Lord make me a blessing today. I want to be a blessing. Boy, this thing here is in the way. This little old microphone thing, ain't it? Didn't I get everything on here? Need a smaller Bible, I reckon. All right, look in verse 39 with me. We'll go down through verse 43. "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily or truly I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I want to talk about these three crosses today and what they represent. There's three crosses. And on these three crosses, there's three men. One man's dying for sin. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. One man dying to sin. That's the thief that said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And one man dying in his sin, which is the awfulest thing can happen to anybody, is that thief that railed on him. And also on these three crosses, you have one man given life, the Lord Jesus Christ. One man losing life, and one man receiving life through the Lord Jesus. You know, in looking at these three men on the cross, there are several things that we can see. But in this dying thief's last moments of life on earth, he gave a good evidence of his conversion, of his salvation. You know, and the scriptures tells us with the heart man believes, and with the tongue confession's made. And few dying people have ever left behind such good evidences of being saved by grace. Saved by grace by this dying thief right here. And I tell you what, you know, and this man repented. And what repentance is, you know, some people say repentance is turning from your sin, but repentance is a change of mind. What it is, God changes a man's mind. And man, God has to be the one to change it concerning man himself. That's the first thing has to be. You got to recognize what you are. God has to change your mind concerning yourself. Then he has to change your mind concerning himself, God being God. And the third thing, he's got to change your mind about who salvation's of, the Lord Jesus Christ, the salvation's of the Lord. And it's going to be of the Lord, always has been of the Lord, and will never cease to be of the Lord. And so here, this what this fellow's doing. And if men are going to be saved, they're going to have to be saved just like this thief was when he hung beside the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. First thing I want us to look at this morning is about this. Look about his concern about his companion's wickedness. And it said here in verse 39, And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save us and thyself. But the answer, another, and here's what he said, he rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou in the same condemnation? And that's the first thing he said, Dost thou not fear God? Now over in Matthew 27, both of these men railed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of them, God Almighty, done something for him to change it. And so he rebuked this wicked man. He said, Don't you fear God? Don't you fear God? And I think one of the greatest manifestations of man's hatred for God, man's rejection of God, man's hate for the Scriptures, is the very fact that he has no fear of God before his eyes. I've known lots of people that's died over the years, and I mean people that didn't know God, didn't care about God, had no interest in God. And they died without any fear. They died in peace. They died peaceful. And they wasn't afraid to die. And here's the reason why. Because they don't fear God. They don't know anything about Him. And I tell you, this is one of the things it says that Paul talked about in Romans 3. There's no fear of God before their eyes. And I tell you, I don't know how many people that don't fear God. And Ecclesiastes 3:14 says this, Whatsoever God doeth, He doeth it forever. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken from it. And the reason being that thou mayest fear God. Fear God Almighty. And he asked the psalmist, that's this question. Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquities, if God sat down and said, Listen, I'm going to charge you with this. I'm going to charge you with that. Who in the world would be able to stand? But oh, he said, bless his name. Thou said, there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Oh my. And I tell you, you know, the scripture says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. That's just the beginning. That's not the end of it. That's just the beginning. And I tell you what, and it, you know, the fear of God produces an awe in your mind, a reverence for Him. You know, the way we even think about God, we can't, you know, we have the highest thoughts of God when we think of Him. And you know why we do? Because we have His fear before us. You know, God Almighty, He's God. We're just flesh. He's in the heavens. We're on the earth. He's spirit. We're flesh. He's holy. And we, if He don't make us holy, we won't be holy. And then there's a second thing that He did. Look what the second thing He did. He acknowledged His own sin. Look what He said in verse 41. And we're here indeed justly. We're here because we deserve to be here. Me and you deserve to be here. We're justly on this cross. We're here because of what we've done. He acknowledged His own sin. We're indeed justly. Men likes to talk about His righteousness and His goodness. I was talking to a fellow the other day. And he said, I'm doing my best to be a good man. I'm doing my best to be a good man. I said, you know, a fellow told me one time sitting at my table. He said, you know, I'm so tired of trying to do good. I'm so tired of trying to be good. And when you get tired of trying to be good and get wore out with it, that's when God will do something for you. And this fellow said, oh, and I began to tell him about God. Tell him what God did. There's none good, no, not one. And oh my, we're justly. You know, man's righteousness is as a filthy rag. Man's got no righteousness. He said, we acknowledged our sin. Isaiah said it like this, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, saw His glory fill that temple, saw the train of His glory, saw the, you know, you see these women with these great big dresses and it takes three or four people to carry the train. Well, I tell you what, God had a train. And I tell you that glory was like a big train. Isaiah saw Him and he said, woe! The first thing out of his mouth was, woe unto me! Woe unto me! Who last time you heard anybody say, God, woe unto me! I'm up in there, the first thing that he said, listen, after he saw the Lord, he said this. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. Everything comes out of my mouth is filthy. Because my mind is filthy. My heart is filthy. Everything about me is filthy. And what comes out of my mouth is unclean. And he said, now look around here and everything I see and everybody I see, they're exactly the same way. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And oh my, he acknowledged his sin. And I'll tell you something. We're going to face God for our sin, not Adam's sin. I'm not going to face God for what Adam did. I'm going to face God for what I've done. I'm not going to face God for my father's sins. I'm not going to face God for her sins. I'm not going to face God for your sins. And my children's sin, I'm going to face God for myself. Oh my. And that's why, you know what happens when God sees a man, sees God. Daniel said, my comeliness turned into corruption. And that's what this thief said. We're here justly. Justly. I tell you, that's one of the first things God will do to a man. He'll make him own up to what he is. I mean, he'll throw up his hand and say, Lord, everything you say about me is exactly right. Oh, I tell you, you know, you all remember the story. David said, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. You remember when our Lord Jesus Christ was in Luke chapter 5, They was out fishing, and he sat in Peter's boat, and they cast out a little while. And as he was sitting outside out there, and he's teaching the people, and he got through teaching, he told Simon Peter, said, launch out into the deep.
catch a great big draft of fishes.
Oh, Simon Peter said to him, Master, oh Lord, we know fishing. We're good fishermen. That's what we do for a living. And we've worked all night long and we ain't caught nothing. He said, launch out there. But nevertheless, at your word, I'm going to do what you tell me. And he did. But you know what he said next? When he pulled up all them fish, he said, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. I got to question you and to tell you what I'm capable of, that I know what fishing is, and to tell you that I've done this all my life, and here you are telling me that you know how to catch fish. And that's why he said, Lord, I'm such a sinful man. Oh, God, depart from me. Depart from me. Oh, my. And let me tell you, there's a third thing about this thief that's on the right side of Christ. He made an open confession. He confessed the Lord Jesus Christ had done nothing. He was an innocent man. Look what he said in verse 41. And we indeed justly, we receive the due reward of our deeds. We're getting what's coming to us. But this man, right beside us, this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's done nothing amiss. And you know, Pilate himself said, I find no, well, look back up here in verse 14, 15. Look at this. You know, Pilate said, look what he said here. In verse 14, he said unto them, you've brought this man unto me as one that perverts the people. And I've examined him before you. And I find no fault in this man touching those things whereof you accuse me. And he said, Herod hasn't either. You sent him to him, and that, there's nothing worthy of death in him. So these fellows admitted that this man had done nothing worthy of being put on a cross. But yet, willing to content the people, he gave up the Lord Jesus Christ. Herod wanted to see a miracle from him. And Judas said, when he went, he said, I've betrayed innocent blood, and went and hung himself. All these folks said there's no fault in him. There's no reason for him to die. And yet, and Pilate stood out there, and he stood before that crowd, got him a pail of water, and he washed his hands. And I'll tell you what, he could not wash off the death of the Lord Jesus Christ off his hands. He couldn't do it. And I tell you what, they said, there's no, and look at all these men now. Where do you think Pilate is? Where do you think Herod is? Where do you think Judas is? Oh my, look at them now. And I tell you, they washed his hands and he couldn't do anything about it. And his wife came to Pilate and said, don't you have nothing to do with this just man. I've been troubled very, very much by this man. Dreams this man. But oh my. And this, they're all suffering now, the just condemnation of God Almighty. All those men are. But this thief looked at him and said, this man's done nothing. There's not a thing. And he's not here because he done something wrong. He's not here because he sinned. He's not here because he did something he shouldn't have done. This man's done nothing amiss. He confessed that the Lord Jesus Christ was innocent, that he wasn't there for anything he himself had ever done. People need to understand this. We're not to never pity the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a reason he is on that cross. There was a reason they had to admit that there was no reason for death in him. They had to all admit that. But yet the scriptures said 700 years before Christ went to this cross, said he'd be numbered with the transgressors. And I tell you what, he was numbered with them. And I tell you what, I was in that crowd cursing him. I was in that crowd reviling him. If I'd have been there, I'd have been done the same thing they'd have done. And I tell you what, I know that. I know that as well as I know anything. But this, our Lord Jesus Christ there, was there not for himself. He was there for somebody else. And here's another thing that he had, that he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. He had faith. He had faith. Oh my. And here's the thing. He said, listen, this man, I remember, had done nothing amiss. You can wash your hands all you want to. And you can say there's nothing that Jesus Christ don't amount to anything. That there's all kinds of saviors in this world. You see these things on the back of these cars coexist? God don't coexist with every religion. Christ don't coexist with everybody. Christ didn't die for us to coexist. He died to make us holy. He died to make us righteous. He died in His election to set us apart. And I'm not going to coexist with another Savior. I'm not going to coexist with another God. I'm not going to coexist with somebody else that died for my sins other than Christ. I'm not going to do it. Let them coexist all they want to. I'm not going to do it. Are you going to do that? No. I'm not going to coexist with a false God. I'm not going to coexist with somebody that wants to talk about, you know, Jesus wants to try to do something for you, but He ain't able. I'm not going to coexist with that mess. I'm not going to coexist with an Armenian and a free willer. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to coexist with somebody that believes salvation's by free will of man and cooperating with God. I'm not going to do it. But I tell you, there's a great difference in their view of sin. Pilate had a different view of sin. Herod had a different view of sin. Judas had a different view of sin. But this man, he said, I'm here justly, but this fellow's not here. He's done nothing amiss. And, you know, there's so many things that people do and say, and oh, it's awful what they say about the Lord Jesus Christ. They're all suffering the condemnation of God Almighty, but not this thief at the right hand of God. It ain't doing it. Ain't doing it at all. And there's another thing that this fellow had. He had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ's power and will to save. Look what he said. He said in verse 42, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Now I tell you what, I want you to understand what he's doing then. When he said, Lord, remember me, you know what he was looking at? He was not looking at somebody that you said, blonde-headed fella hanging on the cross. No blood on him. Our Lord Jesus Christ, they had that crown of thorns, blood was in his eyes running down his face. They had plucked handfuls of his beard out. There's blood on his cheeks. They had beat his back until the scripture said his bones showed. Blood was running down his body. Oh, he was bloody from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. His blood run down on the ground. That cross that he was on was bloody, and the blood was running down that wood that he was on, that tree he was on. And he was naked. They didn't have a loincloth on him. He was naked. He was bloody and broken and suffering immensely. I mean, he looked at a man that was, how in the world could he look at that man and call him Lord? A beaten, bloody mess. Blood all over him. Blood from his hands. Blood from his feet. Blood from his head. Blood from his face. Blood from his back. My bones. He said, my bones are bare. And that's what he's looking at. And he called him Lord. Explain that apart from the free sovereign grace of God. Explain that apart from the revelation that only God can give a man. Who made the difference in the thief that went to hell, and who made the difference in the thief that said, Lord, remember me? But acknowledged him as Lord. He wasn't looking at a poor, pitiful man. There's something about him that he said, oh, he said, I'm here justly, and I confess my sin. But he looked at that man, at broken, bleeding. I mean, his body was a mess. A mess. How can you look to somebody that's nailed to a tree and bloody all over and call him Lord? But he did. He did. Oh, did I tell you not only that? But he said, Lord, you may be hanging on this cross right now, but you got a kingdom. You got a kingdom. You're not coming to be a king. You got a kingdom now. You had a kingdom when you was born. You had a kingdom before the world was ever made. You had a kingdom. You have a kingdom. You have people that's subject to you that you died for. You're the Lord over them. And oh my. He looked at him and he said, oh Lord, not only that, but you got a kingdom. You got a kingdom. Explain to me how he knew he was Lord and he was had a kingdom apart from the revelation. You all remember very, very well when our Lord Jesus Christ, he asked men, Matthew 16, he said, who do men, he asked his disciples, who do men say I am? He said, everybody in town's talking about you. And Jesus will be mentioned all over the United States today. But how many will talk about him being Lord? How many will talk about him having a kingdom? How many will talk about how he died on the cross and who he died for? That all our Lord said, who do men say that I am? Everybody's got something to say about Jesus. And he said, well, some say you're Jeremiah because you're such a sorrowful person. You're acquainted with grief and you're acquainted with sorrow. Some say you're Elijah because you've got such power and such authority. Some say you're one of the other prophets. Then he looked at them. Who do you say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the one sent of God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh my. Our Lord said it like this. And you talking about grace. Our Lord said, Father, oh Father, Lord of heaven and earth. He said, I thank you that you've hid these, like you read this morning, hid these from the wise and the prudent. I know, preacher, I don't. My father-in-law used to tell me this all the time, and I'd be witnessing to him, talking to him. He told me all the time, said, oh, listen, I know, I've read my Bible, I know my Bible. And you know what happened to him? 75 years old, God saved him. Yeah. I was preaching. He got to where he's coming all the time. He was asking me questions. I was preaching. Oh, the hour is coming, and now he is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And I was preaching on that. He is 75 years old. He is sitting on the second pew. And I was getting ready to step out of the pulpit. And he said, Donnie, Donnie. He said, I heard that voice today. Oh, that old church just went to their knees rejoicing. And he died, lived till he was 92 years old. He was the sweetest man. I tell you, you're talking about God making. He said, I always thought I knew something. He said, now I'm just a baby. I'm just a baby. Went from knowing everything till I'm a baby. I don't know nothing. I'm a baby. And that's, he said, I thank you that you've hid these things. Christ hides things. You know that? He hides them from the wise and the prudent. You know who he reveals them to? Babies. Babies. Huh? You know what a baby is? He has to have somebody do everything for him. And he has to do everything for him. All a baby can do is make a mess. And somebody else got to clean it up. And that's what our Lord, that's why he calls us babies. He said, you know, he does it for the babies. And oh my. But you explain this revelation apart from the sovereign free grace of God. You remember Simeon, you know. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Mary and Joseph took the Lord Jesus to on his eighth day to have him circumcised. And then on the 40th day, they take and dedicate a male child to the Lord. And they was in the temple with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was a baby, 8 days old. And they had him in the temple, and you know how many mothers was in there with children? You know, I mean, you got all Israel going to the temple to dedicate their babies at 40 days old, circumcised at 8 days. And so they're there, and this Simeon, an old man with a long beard, an old man, and he walked around there, seen them babies, and he reached over to, went to Mary and said, picked that baby right up out of her arms. And we got babies at church, and I tell you what, I'll reach and they'll reach for me, and I'll take them out of their mama's arms. And he took that baby up out of Mary's arms, and he looked at it, and he looked at that little baby, and he said, Lord, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He's looking at the old baby. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And he said, Lord, you told me when I seen it, I could die. Now let thy servant depart in peace. Hand that baby back to his mama, and I believe he went home and went home to be with Christ. How do you explain that? How can you look at an 8-day old baby and say, I see God's salvation? That's what this fellow saw. When he saw Christ, he saw God's salvation. He said, Lord, remember me. Oh my. And the next thing this fellow did, next thing this man did, is he prayed. Look what it says in verse 42. And he said, Your Lord Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Oh, he prayed. He cried, Lord, remember me. There's five things about his prayer. Five things. 9 words, that's all he done. You don't have to have a lot of words talking to God. No, if you're crying out for mercy, 5 things about his prayer. His prayer was short. Only had 9 words in it. It was humble. Oh Lord, you're the Lord. I'm here because I deserve to be. Oh my. And it concerned himself. Lord, remember me. Remember me. And he only prayed for spiritual blessings. He didn't, that other thief, he wanted to be saved from the pain that he was suffering. If you're the Lord, if you're the Christ, save yourself first and then save me too. He wanted to be saved from suffering. This man wanted to be saved from his sin. That's the difference. And I tell you, he wanted to be saved from it. And then he prayed for spiritual blessings only. That's all he wanted, a spiritual blessing. And all that other thief said, save yourself. And it was a powerful, powerful prayer. Because it come from his heart. You know, Bartimaeus, when the Lord Jesus was passing by, he only used 7 words to stop Christ dead in his tracks. Our Lord Jesus Christ was coming by, and he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. 7 words. That publican in the temple, all he did was say, Lord, have mercy upon me, the sinner. You don't have to pray a lot. And that's, you know, I don't know how many times I've said before I get up to preach, or I've said at home, and that's all I can say, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, please give me grace. Lord, whatever you do, please don't leave me to myself. Please don't leave me to myself. Oh my. And I tell you what, though John Bunyan said, it'd be better for our prayers to be without words as to be without heart. And oh my, from the heart. You don't have to say a lot of things, but if it comes from here, oh my, if it comes from your innermost being, Lord, and you know that you need him. You know that you need him. And the last thing this man done while he was on this earth, he begged to be remembered by the Lord. Is there anything better than the last words of a sinner? I tell you, I've been with folks when they were dying. And before they get into a coma, before they get to where they don't know what they're doing, You know what they all, every one of them that I've ever been around, as long as they're in their right mind, know what they want. They say, let's have prayer. Would you read some scripture for me? Would you do that? And oh, and I remember very well, somebody I loved very much, they was dying. And somebody said, if you got a good hope when you leave here, you know what they said? If Christ is the only Savior there is, and He said He come to save sinners, He said, I've got a good hope. If He come to save sinners, then I've got a good hope. You know, and let me tell you something else. God will never let us get above being sinners. Holding the confidence of from the beginning. What was our confidence when we was the beginning? That we was nothing. Christ was everything. That we was sinners and He's the only Savior. And He never lets us get beyond that. And that's a good place to live the rest of your life. From the time you started to the day you go be with Christ. Ain't that right? And that's what He did. Oh Lord, Malachi said, God said, I've got a book of remembrance. A book of remembrance. You know what He remembers? Folks that talk about Him. People that look to Him. Oh my. And here it tells us that salvation is by grace apart from any works. Let me ask you, what in the world could this thief possibly have done that day? How's he going to cooperate with the Lord? He's bound hand and foot. He was nailed to that tree. He could do nothing for his own soul. Not a thing for himself. He couldn't do anything. All he could do is look to Christ. What else can we do but look to Christ? And oh my, here's proof. If you want proof that baptism and the Lord's Suppers and ceremonies are not absolutely needful to salvation, here it is. He was not baptized. No. He never joined a physical, visible church. He didn't go to any synagogue as far as we know. He never received the bread and the wine, never received the Lord's table. He never walked an aisle, as most people want him to know. He never gave a tithe. No soul winner ever tried to walk him and talk him into accepting Jesus. Nobody said, pray the sinner's prayer. And repeat after me. And let me tell you something about the sinner's prayer. That's all a sinner can ever do is pray. Ain't that right? I didn't need anybody to teach me what it was to pray. The minute God gave me life, I started crying. And I ain't stopped crying yet. Oh, what did he do? He believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, Lord, remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Oh my. I tell you, He lives who saved the dying thief. And there's hope for the worst of sinners. Oh my. Let me tell you something. Thy Lord said, answered him, and he said, today. That tells us the moment a person leaves this world, he goes to be with Christ. No purgatory, no waiting around, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with Christ. And I tell you what, and here's the key to it, be not paradise, but to be with me. And that's the only reason I want to go to glory, to be with Christ. No waiting period. Oh, he was the first soul that entered into glory, washed in the blood of Christ, right from the cross. Oh my. Two thieves, only one of them was saved. That none should despair, but only one, that nobody should presume. That's what J.C. Ryle said. Thank you all very much. We'll try this again here in a few minutes.
I hope you enjoyed that. I sure did. I love to hear God's word preached. Don't you? Not defended, not argued. Preached. Preached. Now, we're going to take a little bit of a break, and we're going to come back here in a few minutes, and we're going to do this again. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for what we've heard. Oh, what mercy. Oh, what boundless grace. Lord, we don't have the vocabulary to describe the blessedness of what you do, what you're doing, and what you're continuing to do. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the messenger. Lord, we ask you now that as we prepare for the second hour, that you'd give what's needed. Bless our brother. Help him to deliver the word of God as it is to people as they are. In Christ's name, amen.